What is a Christian? I hadn't really thought much about that question until lately, and I began to look around me and see what the definition was that others must have drawn by watching and listening. And when I listened at people talk and watched the things they did, and then remember the scriptures that I have read, I saw that the world's idea of a Christian and the Bible's presentation of and definition of a Christian were poles apart. And just for my own benefit, and I hope it's benefited you, I've begun this study on what is a Christian. And so far, I think we've been able to make a lot of progress. That is, we've come to some very sound and solid definitions and observations. I think I want to reiterate, because it is so important, the fact that a Christian is a good person. The idea, and I understand that we're all sinners and that we're all saved by grace and that we never will stop sinning until death delivers us from this body or until Jesus comes and takes us from the earth and translates us into another body. But I think sometimes we do use that as an excuse for not doing better. I believe we can live good, wholesome, solid Christian lives, that we can be honest, that we can demonstrate the attributes of God in our lives, that we really can live a Christian life. I don't think it's impossible. And I also believe that God expects us to live a Christian life. But we do it. Christians live as they should in the world because they have a heart that's been made good, because they've been born again. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And also, the good works that are done for the glory of God. They're never done so that the Christian himself can glory in the things that he's accomplished or in the things that he may have been able to do from the viewpoint of visible things, but he always does things in order to glorify God. We notice that Christ set that example, that it's one of the great attribute of the Holy Spirit is that he speaks of another rather than of himself. This afternoon, I want us to look at a Christian from the viewpoint of truth. To me, a Christian is a person who loves the truth. And you may ask, Brother Penn, what truth do you mean? Simple truth, plain truth, gospel truth, the harsh truth, political truth, religious truth. I'm saying that a Christian loves truth. I don't think we can say that truth can be categorized into all of these different categories that I've mentioned. Truth may be simple or it may be complicated, but that doesn't make simple truth better than complicated truth. Plain truth as opposed to, I suppose, confused truth. But we've just come to use these terms, and someone says, now, that's the gospel truth. And I suppose the gospel truth is supposed to be more truthful than the truth that's a plain truth. But God doesn't make these distinctions. We are the ones who've made these distinctions, trying to emphasize the fact that in certain circumstances, we wouldn't tell anything but the plain, honest gospel truth. But then there are other circumstances when we might shade the truth a little bit so that things would fall to our advantage. I believe that a Christian is a truth person, that they love the truth, whether it's truth that leads to religious liberty or whether it's truth that leads to political liberty, whether it's the truth about the committing of crimes that are against the state, or whether it's crimes that are committed against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. And a Christian loves the truth, and a Christian longs for truth. In fact, one of the reasons that the millennial reign will be such a great time for Christian people is because it's a time when truth reigns. It's a time when all that is false will be discouraged and, I think, punished. It's a time when truth will literally reign upon this earth because Jesus, the Prince of Truth, will be reigning upon this earth. But a Christian prefers truth. He prefers truth in the most difficult circumstances to that which is not the truth in the most elaborate circumstances. I believe that a genuine, honest, born-again Christian had rather sit on a log and hear the truth than sit in the most comfortable, ornate church in America and hear things that are not the truth. I believe Christians are attracted by the truth, that it's a part of their very nature to love the truth. We don't hear much about that anymore, do we? Our society and our culture has knocked the rough edges off of truth and smoothed it so that it, as the scriptures say, tickles ears. It doesn't grate against the nature of man. And all of us, quote, have come to realize that the naked truth, the bald truth, the bold truth, the harsh truth has no real place in our society today. That it's the soothing truth, it's the comforting truth that has a place in our society. But I believe a Christian loves the truth even though it may hurt him deeply. And a Christian wants to do and to A Christian wants to gauge his life by the truth and live his life by the truth, even though oftentimes it gets him into extreme difficulty. I was reading about Obadiah Holmes and his punishment for going from Newport, Rhode Island, past Boston, Massachusetts, to Salem, in order to visit William Witter, who was a elderly gentleman who could not go to church at Newport anymore, and there was not a church close that he could attend. And so three of the brethren from the Newport church had gone there to comfort him. And his pastor had come, John Clark, and he had preached, and they had been caught by the authorities, and therefore they were to suffer punishment. And Obadiah Holmes was to suffer 30 lashes from the whip because his fine was 30 pounds, and they considered one stroke of the whip equivalent to 1 pound in money. And therefore they were going to whip him with these 30 lashes. And when the executioner was getting ready to whip him with this whip, he asked Obadiah Holmes to unbutton his jacket and to remove it. And Obadiah Holmes said, "I will not, because I would be cooperating with you in doing something that is not right. I would be giving some cooperation to you, and I would be saying that I'm not sure that what I did was right, and what he did that was right was not pay money for a license so that he could visit this elder man with his pastor and with a deacon of the church and preach to him." Now here's a man who loved truth so deeply that he would walk many, many miles to be involved in a service where there was truth. And truth was of such a value to him that he'd rather suffer the anger of the man who's going to lay a whip upon his back than cooperate in any way whatsoever to give the idea that he had any doubts about what he did as being the wrong thing. Now here was a man who by his actions prove that he loved the truth. That so much he loved the truth so deeply that he's willing to be beaten because he preached the truth and taught the truth. And that is characteristic of our forefathers, that they loved truth so deeply that they would die for the truth. It's a characteristic of Almighty God. Deuteronomy 32 and 4 tells us, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. So he's referred to in this prayer of Moses as a God of truth. David wrote of him in Psalm 31 and 5, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. O Lord God of truth. Jesus is truth. He said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is said that Jesus spoke of himself and said the same is true. He said in John 8:45, I tell you the truth. In John 1:17, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 18, when Jesus was accused of being a seducer of men, and when he was before Pilate, here's the answer that Jesus gave. In verse 36 of chapter 18, the book of John. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now notice, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus said, God sent me to bear witness of the truth. And this is the kind of witness that we must bear. We must bear witness to the truth. We could accomplish much more if we would simply shade the truth, if we would forget some of the truth and just preach some of the truth that men like to hear. You know, there's some truth that men love to hear, and they will sit and listen to it because it proves their importance. But there's some truth that men don't like to hear. But Jesus told the truth whether men wanted to hear it or whether they didn't want to hear it. It might have been a wonderful thing to hear him tell of heaven, a truth that people love to hear about. But maybe they weren't so anxious to hear about hell. Maybe they were glad to hear him endorse the teaching of Moses. But they certainly did not welcome his condemnation of them as blind leaders of the blind or men who were hypocritical in their religious activity. The idea that we can pick out certain things and that these are the truth and we can turn away from certain other things and that this has no consequence whatsoever is a falsehood. We are bound as God's people, just as God is a God of truth and he never ceases being a God of truth, and just as Jesus is truth and he never ceases to be truth, then the church ought to love the truth and preach the truth and teach the truth and do it in a consistent, loving way, because whatever we tell people that is not the truth, we'll answer to God in judgment for it. It's a time for truth. You know, I can just say that about almost everything that is at this time affecting my life and affecting your life. You know, it's time for truth in our federal government. It's time that high officials quit being convicted for hiding the truth and obstructing Congress. It's time that politicians told the truth, that told us where we're really at financially in America, where they actually tell us about the $3 trillion debt, that they actually tell us what the consequences of this is, of being so deeply in debt. But we don't hear that. We simply have them telling us what we want to hear. And here in our own state, in this year of political activity, it would be nice if people, it would be helpful, it would be proper if our people told us the truth instead of telling what people want to hear. It'd be helpful, and I think go a long way to solving the school problem in Little Rock if people would simply tell the truth without trying to shade it to protect this group or that group. It's time for truth. We've gone a long, long time without just a bare revealing of that which is true, whether it hurts my feelings or hurt your feelings or hurts anybody else's feelings. God is a God of truth. Christ is a person of truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. John chapter 14. Verse 15, Jesus speaks of his commandments, and he speaks of the Comforter coming, which is, of course, the role the Holy Spirit plays today in my life and your life. Verse 17, he's referred to as the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why is it? What is it that the world will not receive about the Comforter? The truth. We would love to have him as our aid, as our support, as our go-between. We'd love to have all that he has implied and said he would do in that respect, but why won't the world receive the Spirit of God, which is literally the power of God? Why? Because he is the Spirit of truth. Because God is a God of truth, and Jesus is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth. And he will guide us in truth. But ye know him, Jesus said, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I know that there is something to not telling the truth and how that it disturbs you if you've been raised like you should have been raised and if you've listen to the preacher, and if you've listened to your own conscience as you've studied the Word of God, you know how badly you can feel when you've not told the truth. You know how deeply your conscience can hurt you when you have not told the truth, and when you have simply shaded the truth so that it would turn things to your favor. And I think a part of that is because the Spirit of truth dwells within us, because we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and the truth of God is in us, and we've studied His Scriptures, and we know the truth. So when we are tempted to lie, when we're tempted to not tell the truth, tempted to not do that which is true, then we are deeply wounded inside because we offend the very Spirit of truth, even Jesus Christ, even the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13 speaks of the Spirit of God. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. If we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, he will never lead us to one single lie. He will never lead us to a single solitary deception. He will guide us into all truth. Now, I know that Jesus is talking about guiding those apostles into truth that they wrote, and that these writings later became the New Testament as we know it today, as far as the Gospels and other writings are concerned, such as Peter, John, I understand that. But I don't think the Holy Spirit today will guide me to lie. I don't think He'll guide you to lie. I don't think it would guide me to lie or you to lie if it created a circumstance that the church would get thousands of dollars. Or if it created a circumstance where hundreds of people would come. You say, well, I know that God would want us to lie if someone would leave us $1 million, because then we could use it for mission work. I don't believe God would want me to lie or you to lie for $1 million. He said, well, preacher, now that'd be crazy. You know, I wouldn't lie for $10, but you know, for $1 million, I'd think that you ought to just be willing to just tell somebody they're saved when they're not saved, or recognize their baptism when it's not good, if they'd give the church $1 million, because we could take that money and do so much good with it. We could outbalance and overbalance a lie by doing good. And I don't believe that's true. And I believe God is dishonored when we take that philosophy and embrace it and use it, and as many people do, actually glory in it. We do good by taking that which is evil and using it for the glory of God. I don't think men could ever do that. I don't think men have ever done that. And I don't think men ever will do that. John 17, 5 and 17. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, Jesus said, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God is a God of truth. Jesus Christ is truth. The Holy Spirit guides into all truth. And the word that He guides men unto is the truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is an attribute of God. And truth is a characteristic of the Christian. His love for it. His love for truth wherever it may be found. He would rather have the truth than anything else. And he longs for it and searches for it. That's one way we know that a person is a Christian. We must know the truth. Thy word is truth. Whenever Timothy was receiving a letter from Paul, 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Why? Why do you need to study? Well, so you can rightly divide what? The word of truth. We must know the truth, and we must worship in the truth. John 4:24. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Sometimes we stop right there. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. But notice this. To all that call upon him in truth. You know, God is not going to respond to a lie. We can't flatter God. We can't go to God and tell God things that aren't true and expect God to receive that as worship. The only thing that God will receive in worship is truth. So we must offer it to God. We must serve him in truth. Joshua 24:14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Now a lot of people stop with the sincerity. God will accept anything we offer to him in sincerity. But here the scriptures say it must not only be in sincerity, but it must also be in truth. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. God's people should walk before God in truth. 1 Kings 2:4. And there's almost a repetition of statements, and yet they apply to two different circumstances altogether. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 4. He was talking about David and David's being the father of a lineage of men who would be kings. Verse 4 of chapter 2. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fall thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Not fail thee, a man on the throne of Israel. Walk what? Walk before me in truth. You know, David was not a sinless person. David had some real serious spiritual problems from the viewpoint of the flesh. But God didn't take his kingdom away from him because of those activities specifically, because David did walk before God in truth. And that is a requirement. 2 Kings 20 and 3, when Hezekiah was pleading for an extension of his life before God, he made the statement, God, I have walked before you in truth. And this evidently was so. 2 Kings 20 and 3. In this plea, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. We must value the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not, which simply means accumulate it as though you're accumulating personal treasure, as you're accumulating antiques that you would buy but you would never sell for any price, like the heirlooms that belong to grandmother or grandfather, the things that could never come again into the family if they were lost. Buy them and never let it go. Buy the truth and sell it not. Write them on the table of thine heart. Inscribe it on the heart. We must rejoice in the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice what? In the truth. And then Paul writes that the church, in order for it to accomplish the things that it needs to accomplish, the members should speak to one another in truth. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. And churches that become great churches are not only built upon the fact of telling the truth about God and the Holy Spirit and the Bible and salvation, but the members speak the truth one to another. Not just spiritual truth, but their relationship to one another is built upon truth and honesty and integrity and the things that are of intrinsic value, rather than such things as silver and gold and precious stones. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that you shall do. Speak ye every man truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Gates symbolize authority here, are the courts of the land. So he's saying, all of you in your relationship one to another, speak truth. And in your court system, speak truth and seek justice. I believe, and I don't think it's just reminiscing, but I believe that one of the reasons that our nation was able to accomplish what it has accomplished in such a brief period of time is because there was a deep regard for the truth. And we rarely see that now. Even our entertainment teaches us to lie. The basic premise of the sitcom television programs that our children see or we see all of the time glorify the liar and glorify the deceiver, glorify the cop that takes money, glorifies the judge that is bribed and glorifies the person that lies and deceives and gets by with it. That's our culture and our society. Our heroes are evil men. They're not clean and honest who are punished for their truthfulness. But usually our heroes in society and the culture of America today suffer only when they tell the truth. And when they don't, they do very well. It's a message. It's a message. Do you love the truth? Had you rather have the truth more than you'd rather have anything else in the world? Well, I think there are people like that. And I hope that all of us are like that. That we want the truth, desire the truth, love the truth, realize its value, and want to always tell it. Because that'll honor God, and we'll be a Christian.